Freunde, bevor wir jetzt hier anfangen, noch mal ganz kurz ein Hinweis in eigener Sache. Wenn ihr in Zukunft plant, euch Tattoo-Equipment zuzulegen, kann ich euch wirklich nur ans Herz legen, guckt euch vorher einmal eben kurz unsere Webseite an, www.tftn-podcast.com. Da findet ihr unter dem Reiter Deals nämlich richtig viele geile Deals. In den meisten Fällen bekommt ihr 10%, zum Beispiel bei Coal Black Tattoo Supply, bei Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment, bei Killer Ink Supply, bei Chaos Nero und bei Muro Star, just to name a few. Die Liste wird ständig erweitert, deswegen guckt vorher vorbei, www.tftn-podcast.com oder über die Shownotes. Und jetzt wünsche ich euch viel Spaß mit dem Podcast. Bis später.
Maybe a client's skin doesn't take ink as well, or maybe it's very thin, but it's like, hey, the person still deserves a beautiful tattoo. And that's something I take into life as well. It's like, okay, life isn't gonna be how you want it to be, but I'm gonna do my best with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of the Tales from Needle Tattoo Podcast. My name is Zeb Fury One. I'm talking to artists, tattoo artists, and people related to the tattoo industry from all over the world. And today I have a new international guest for you guys, because I'm sitting here in my studio with Patrick Thompson, aka Sushi Tattoos.
Thank you for having me.
Huh. Hey, how are you? All good?
I'm good, yeah. I'm not tired, thankfully.
Not yet.
We'll see how I feel later tonight.
Yeah, probably. So you flew in yesterday, right?
Correct, yeah.
Is it like, do you have like a jet lag?
No, but I've heard it's worse going like west.
Yeah.
And I definitely found that last time I traveled to Europe.
Yeah.
And also I traveled to Japan last year.
Oh, crazy.
And I was like, oh, it was way worse going there than it was coming back.
How long does it take from Canada to Japan?
It was around 12 hours.
Oh, it's not that bad, actually.
Not that bad. This is actually like easy compared to that. It was only 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's also not a big deal. Cool. Can you please introduce yourself to our audience, that the people know who they are listening to?
I'm a 25-year-old tattoo artist out of Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. And I'm just here to be a part of the Invitational that you so graciously invited me to.
Nice. This is really cool, because we met at the Amsterdam Tattoo Convention. I think it was around 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
And then we talked about this topic, and then you'll be like, yeah, just let me know when you're doing the next one. Last year, it didn't work out, sadly, but afterwards.
Yeah.
And you managed to do it, because this is really cool about this, because I don't know what your experiences with tattoo artists, but usually like tattoo artists are always like, yeah, bro, of course you do this, do that, and you never hear from them afterwards.
Yeah, well, that was kind of my experience at the Amsterdam Tattoo Convention. I had a couple people like tell me, yeah, if you're ever in X, Y, and Z, like come by and they'll gladly have me at the shop. But you guys were the only people who actually like reached out afterwards when I was back in Canada to be like, hey, we're serious about this. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'll take you guys up on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really nice. And sometimes people find each other, you know, like mm-hmm. that. So it's something like this, real, recognized, real, probably. How long have you been tattooing?
I've been tattooing since I was 18. So 7 years going on 8.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
And how was it like to start a tattoo apprentice? Have you made an apprenticeship or are you self-taught?
It was an apprenticeship.
Huh.
So it was, so in Ontario, they have something in high school mm-hmm. called a co-op program, which is where you work for your credits.
Mm-hmm.
I should stop hitting the table. where instead of going to classes, you go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And in grade 12, I had the opportunity to work at a tattoo shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I was my whole final year of high school.
Oh, crazy.
And then by the end of it, I was offered an apprenticeship.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And well, is it hard like in Canada? I can just relate to Germany and probably like Europe, how it is there somehow. But how is it in Canada? Is it hard to get an apprenticeship?
I don't really know, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I think it all depends on the artist, right? And if they want to take you or not. In terms of like regulation standards, there is none. I don't know what it's like in Germany, but like here, there's no, like, anyone can open a shop.
Yeah.
Like in Canada. So
Germany, it's the same.
Same thing.
Costs 15 euros. You just have to register your business, which is 15 euros, and then that's it.
Yeah, all we need to do is pass a health inspection, and you're good to open a shop.
We're not even doing this, can you imagine?
Yeah.
So it's like in Germany, it's like crazy overregulated with everything. Mm-hmm. But this, which is actually, I think if you're not knowing what you're doing, actually quite dangerous because it has blood in it and health and stuff, you know? And
oh, I 100% agree. It's crazy. Like how our industry is not more regulated.
Yeah.
It blows my mind because we're the only profession that cuts into people and we don't need like a degree or like anything really.
Yeah, that's true. Probably like the same with peer. Yeah, you can just pull it, and it's not hitting that so much. You're actually the first person that takes care of this, because every other guy that I'm talking to is just like, okay, I'm hitting the desk, and this is also why we're wearing headphones. Just some technical talk here, mm-hmm. Because then you recognize it, and when you listen to it, some people are really crazy about this. Also, when you eat while you're podcasting and stuff, and they're getting pretty angry about this.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that can get really annoying.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to make it as good for the listener's experience.
It's perfect, man. Thank you so much. I once listened to a podcast to a German tennis legend, Boris Becker, mm-hmm. and he was hitting the desk like constantly, and it was a very, very big podcast. And I was like, shut the fuck up, you know? Yeah, actually fun. Okay, so, and it was like a practical year, like when you were at the tattoo shop, and how did you get there? Because we have some applications from time to time where people apply for like a school. I don't know the English term, but in Germany it's like 2 to 3 weeks that you spend in a business. And of course, there's nothing you learn in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just a glimpse that you get.
So so we go in semesters, mm-hmm. in at least in the school that I went to. So it's the first semester of the school, I did a half day co-op at my shop. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, because I got enough credits, there's like mandatory credits in mm-hmm. high school in Canada. So I got enough mandatory credits where I can kind of do whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it was then when they offered me a full-time apprenticeship. Oh, cool. So I went to my school, I said, hey, can I do a full day co-op? And they said, go right ahead. Like they were super cool with it.
This is actually pretty nice.
Oh, it was super nice.
Unimaginable in Germany.
Yeah.
That you can go there. And how did you apply for this? Like have you done like a portfolio with stuff?
I did. I did a portfolio with, I've known I wanted to be a tattooer since like grade 10.
Really?
Yeah. So ever since I was like, okay, I want to pursue this. Mm-hmm. I started doing, all my drawings were like tattoos. Mm-hmm. So I did all my drawings wanting to be that. And then I took like my 10 best that I thought, mm-hmm. I gave it to them alongside like an actual written out resume.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Because that was the one thing we were taught in school. It's like, you got to give a resume. So
it's plain basics. You know?
Exactly. And they took it and they were like, okay. I also did it like 8 months before I was supposed to, mm-hmm. to like make sure that they knew that I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And I also handed it into my co-op teacher 8 months early, so that they know, to let her know, mm-hmm. that like, okay, he's serious about this. He's not just wanting to do this for fun. Like I was serious about wanting to be a tattoo artist. And I think they both saw that and they recognized it and they're like, okay, we'll take you.
Crazy.
Yeah.
This is actually something that is lacking in most of the new apprentice requests right now. It's just this, you know, some people just text you on Instagram. Hey, I was thinking about, you know, like doing an apprenticeship. Yes or no, mm-hmm. no portfolio, nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very important to go into the shop and meet the people that, because maybe it's like, it's kind of like a consultation.
Yeah.
Right. You do a consultation with a client, at least in my opinion, to see if you're going to like the project, but also see if you're going to like the person.
Yeah,
because if you don't click, like, I don't really want to be with you for however long.
Yeah,
for me,
sure.
It takes like 40, 50 hours to do a sleeve.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I really want to hang out with this person for 40, 50 hours? Like, not really. I've never had that where I've turned someone down on personality. Like most of the time, people are great.
Yeah, sure.
Like 99% of the time.
Sometimes it's just sorting it out. For me, this is also what I tell my apprentice, is that you gain like a certain experience with it that you can tell like from the first 1 to 2 messages if this stuff works out or if it's mm-hmm. just a waste of time.
Definitely.
And if you so how does an apprenticeship in Canada start? So you've been there, like, and you were in school, like, officially, but working at the tattoo shop. And what was your what were you supposed to do there?
So I was actually supposed to be like, so they told me, they're like, so my mentor's name is Dale, mm-hmm. and he told me the first time we met, he's like, I'm not looking for an apprentice, so don't ask. And I was like, all right, fine. Like, as long as I get out of the school,
yeah.
maybe I pick up some things here and then say I make a positive impression. Perfect. But if not, then I can ask him to suggest another shop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was originally supposed to be just the shop bitch, mm-hmm. for a lack of a better word. So I was just supposed to clean the floors, answer messages. Like, essentially, when I walked in, the manager of the shop was supposed to leave.
Mm.
But once I was done all my like little jobs, I would just watch my mentor, Dale, work.
Yeah.
And I would talk to the clients and just really be attentive and watch what he was doing. So at least I tried to pick up some stuff. And he recognized that. And then by the end of the first semester, he was like, hey, I know I said I wasn't going to offer you an apprenticeship, but would you like one? And I was like, hell yeah, please.
You were like, nah, sorry. Now I have a new shop where I'm doing my apprenticeship, you know? Would be funny. Okay, and then he said, yeah, okay, let's go. And then the real apprenticeships started.
Yes. So at that time, I like equated enough hours like watching him where mm-hmm. I was picking up on some stuff and he recognized that. So he's like, okay, we first started with grapefruit to tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
I did some pigskin like before, like at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I found grapefruit was better because it's very easy to overwork the skin.
Yeah,
with a grapefruit. So I worked with that for probably a couple months before Dale and I felt comfortable moving forward tattooing
mm-hmm.
people. And then first started with like little small projects. The first person I ever tattooed was my older brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you get?
Yes. He got just a... like a silhouette of a Spartan helmet mm-hmm. with two flourishes.
Oh, crazy.
It's on like... on the end with on his wrist. And ooh. But like my family's very supportive. So even like before I was at the shop, my brother was like, oh, like I want to be your first tattoo. I want to be your first tattoo. And I was like, okay, perfect. And then when I mentioned it to him, he was like, oh, hell yeah, let's do this.
Oh, this is really cool, man.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm very lucky. Like everyone in my life has been so supportive of me. And just like they saw that I was very passionate at what I did.
And this is the stuff that I also wanted to talk with you about, because this is something that I recognize, because when we met, you spent like two full days like just watching a tattoo artist tattoo and try to pick up as much as possible. And you know, ambition is something that opens almost every door, because this is the real, recognizes real part about tattooing. It's not that the stuff that you told me also about apprenticeship and everything, the mechanism is the same as everywhere. If you are ambitionous and you come into a tattoo shop and the people recognize that you are there for the right reasons, which is doing art, you know, expressing yourself, doing cool shit, every door is open. If they think you're just doing it to be cool, you're out. No chance to.
Oh, I 100% agree. Like, I'm a firm believer in hard work trumps talent, especially when hard work fails to show up.
Sure.
Because I know a ton of like really, really talented tattoo artists who like they start out as an apprentice and they're killing it, but they don't have that like drive to become better, and they just kind of stagnate. I would say that I was never a very talented tattoo artist. I feel like I got to where I am through hard work and learning and trying to learn as much as possible from other artists, just to try to get as good as I can be.
Which obviously worked out, because your stuff fucking kills.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really nice. And you're doing a lot of realism, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
Was it like the, is it also the direction that you wanted to go? Or something completely different?
So originally I wanted to be like the Japanese color neo-traditional guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what like all my first drawings were.
Mm-hmm.
Were trying to be as like flashy as possible. And although I still love that style, once I started tattooing realism, I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about it that got me really, really into it. But once I started doing more and more of it, I was like, okay, this is like the direction I want to go.
But I think like it's a good base if you start off with neo-traditional stuff, because it gives you a good impression on how the image itself is set up, to keep it to the bare minimum of details, mm-hmm. but make it look good, and also that it's holding during the years.
No, I agree. And I think neo-traditional artists are some of the best to really like understand the flow of the body when you see them, and they have like a full color animal and it's just flowing down their arm so beautifully. Like how it accentuates the body is crazy. So like when you see that kind of work, they're like, okay. Like neo-traditional artists are some of the best to understand like body composition and stuff like that.
Yeah, probably. Also because you're working with a lot of forms and stuff. And this is something that I'm missing from some realistic artists. All they do is like when they do a single piece, it's always creating patches, because most of them just do like a bold black outline. I mean, for business, it's good because the people will come back to get more. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a very good concept, I think this is not the way to go. So, and especially like in Canada, there are so much talented artists.
Definitely.
Also, like the first one that came to my mind were James and Anthony Tex.
Okay. I'm very like, I don't know a lot of artists' names.
Okay.
Like if you show me their work, I'm sure I'd know them. For some reason, I also try to stick with like my own lane to try to not copy off of other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes definitely sense. Sometimes I think this is even better. I mean, like, of course, if you are learning and you know a lot of stuff, it's better, but it also opens the doors to replicate. So, mm-hmm.
Well, I think especially when you do start, like I definitely did it where I looked at all these different artists and I was like, okay, you want to take the best aspects of each of these artists, mm-hmm. or like something that you really enjoy and try to make it your own. And then that's kind of how you first build your style. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like sometimes you can become a copycat of other artists.
Yeah, probably.
So sometimes you need to take a break and step back from social media and try to make something of your own.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And what was the first motif that you tattooed on a regular customer? Like when you said your brother, right, the Spartan helmet, but
yes.
What was the first person that you don't know that didn't support you, you know?
Oh, I don't even remember that,
no?
If I'm being honest with you. It was probably one of like my mentor Dale's, one of his customers.
Oh, okay.
That came in to get a tattoo.
Worse.
Oh, yeah. And then you're like, oh my God.
You compare it, you know?
Yeah. And you also like kind of get to know the guy because he's been in a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to him and then, but it's awesome that like someone like that, like I appreciate everyone who got a tattoo from me, like for my apprenticeship, because mm-hmm. like, a lot of them are like not great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just how it goes, right? But I appreciate all of them. Like I'm still trying to get them all in because I told them, I'm like, anyone who got like an apprenticeship tattoo from me, I will cover it up or fix it for free.
Oh, cool.
Like I'm just trying to take some people up on, hopefully some people take me up on that offer.
Yeah, sure. The problem with this is probably that I think like the difference between good and bad artists is always how they think of themselves, you know, because I've never seen a good artist that talks about himself like, yeah, you know, I'm the shit.
No, I think I'm definitely my biggest critic.
Yeah.
Like, so one thing that I do that really, really helps me get better is I still have like a little tattooing journal. Mm-hmm. And for most every project, I'll write like one positive thing I did about it, yeah. one negative thing about it, and okay. then how to improve. So that I keep trying to improve on or build off of what I've already done.
This is by far the best advice you can give to your apprentice, because this was the same thing that I told Kilian when he started. I was like, okay, now after everything you do, you're doing a resume. You're just analyzing what went good, what went bad, and what to do better.
Yeah.
And I think this is always the way to go. And if you stop doing this, no matter how long your career was or whatever, then you're going to stagnate if you stop doing this. Mm. Probably.
Well, I think it can also... I used to... Well, back before I did it, I would always see what was negative in my tattoos. So I'd always look back and like look at the photos of the tattoo and be like, oh, I could have improved here. I could improve here. But you can get so caught up in the negatives that you don't see the positive aspects of your tattoo, right? Like, okay, that, whatever. I enjoy the composition. I think my blacks are really, really solid in this piece. Mm-hmm. Like you need to be able to recognize what's good as well as what is negative.
Yeah. You try to do also this kind of mindset in your life, except from tattooing?
No. I definitely do this in my real life as well. We can get kind of deep on this if you'd like, but sure. I have a lot of like self-worth issues.
Okay.
When I was, ever since I was very, very young, like I've never really liked myself.
Okay.
And I've always would see the negative in myself. And it wasn't until a couple years ago, I started going to therapy. And that's what one of my my therapists told me. Is like, you also need to recognize what's good in you and not just like shit on yourself constantly. And that's what I was doing. I was just shitting on myself constantly because it was like, okay, I don't only see what was negative in myself and my tattoos in my career, but I wasn't seeing the positive aspects, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this is a very important part, I think, about of this development stuff. A couple of years ago, I think it was before COVID hit, I was given a book by one of my best friends that it's in Germany, it's called Grenzenlos Erfolgreich, so Boundless Success, probably translated literally. And it's something like from a doctor that also did psychology, and also he was a pro surfer, kite surfer, something like that. So a sportsman. And this book, it was like a 30-day journey where you also analyze yourself. And a lot of this, there's a lot of personality building books out there. And I read like 30, 40 books about this. And they all come from the same book, which is probably from Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And this kind of also reflection on yourself and on your actions is so essential. And most of the people, like you said, you know, I mean, it's very easy to get like low self-esteem when you just watch Instagram and whatever. It happens to everybody, you know?
Definitely.
Like if people come around and ask me, yeah, because to some people, which is actually quite funny, I'm very successful. And to myself, I'm just a guy that's doing his best and mostly never works out the way I wanted it to, you know? So there's always this factor of perspective, how you look at things, and also how to solve things. And I think, for example, if you start journaling, you're also doing like positive and negative things, the negative things to grow and the positive things for appreciation.
Definitely.
So, and this is something that I think is very, very important to do it. And you conquer this with that.
Well, thank you, but like it's still something that I need to do every day. You know what I mean? I need to like be able to reflect on myself and as a tattoo artist.
Yeah. But this reflection, like I said, is I think the most important thing that you just all the time. I mean, it's the same for every business, for every profession. You just reflect, do it, reflect, do it, reflect, and then hopefully grow about it.
Exactly. And well, as long as you keep doing that, you're going to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's rare that you do something that you don't like. As long as you recognize it, that you didn't like that about yourself, you're going to catch yourself doing it. And you're going to be able to correct yourself.
Yeah.
Kind of like a behavioral therapy, I guess you'd call it. But I don't know.
You think that this going to therapy and also having these issues kind of like advanced you in developing in your life? You know?
Definitely. I used to be, and to a part I still am, I am a depressed person. So being able to work with someone on my depression, to see it as what it is and being able to recognize the signs. Because sometimes I get into like spirals. So it's like, I just start not feeling great about myself. And then I wonder why I'm not feeling great about myself. And then I can't find out an answer because, you know, I have most everything I've ever wanted. You know what I mean? I have a beautiful family. I have my dream job. And still, for some reason, I feel this way. So being able to recognize that can help me to get out of that spiral. Because sometimes you're just depressed for no reason. Like you don't have a solid reason. But it's recognizing that, okay, that it's just how it is, can sometimes help me. And for the most time, helps me get out of that, that downward spiral.
Happened to me today, actually. Because like I'm pretty much stressed about, out about the invitation and stuff. And the week went shitty because like 4/5 of my appointment canceled. And like 2 guest artists canceled and invitational artists canceled and whatever. So the week itself was shit. Mm-hmm. But now at the end of the week, when I did when I cleared everything, because I think also most of the fear that you have is from not knowing stuff, you know?
Definitely, definitely. Like there, like for you, there's a lot of unknowns right now, at least until the event's over.
Yeah.
Like once it's over, I'm sure you're like, it's going to feel like a whole,
dude,
the world's off your shoulders.
We just reserved, we have, last year we were gifted a voucher for a private spa from the team here at Downtown.
Nice.
And we're going to do 10 and a half hours of private spa on Sunday. So like in a week when everything is over.
Nice.
This will be fine.
That's going to be nice.
This is also something that I haven't learned until I think 1 or 2 years ago, just also to celebrate, you know, not just to grind and hustle, because this is an endless journey.
Definitely.
From time to time, you just need to settle, look back and just celebrate also the successes that you did.
Yeah. And that's a part of, at least my opinion, that journaling, right? Mm-hmm. Is like when you put something successful at the top, like it's good. Like
yeah.
You recognize and you're like, okay, I am doing something correct. I am doing something right.
Mm.
And maybe like you may have a piece that you're not very happy with, but being able to recognize the good that you've done is such a big part.
Werbung. Freunde, bevor es jetzt weitergeht, möchte ich euch noch ganz kurz jemanden vorstellen, und zwar den lieben Mike und die liebe Maya. Das sind nicht nur Freunde von mir, sondern auch die beiden Masterminds hinter dem Tattoo Supply Chaos Nero. Chaos Nero sitzt in Österreich, habt ihr vielleicht schon mal auf Convention gesehen, die haben so ein richtig geiles, kreischend pinkes Logo. Und bei Chaos Nero bekommt ihr vor allem Marken wie Blood Irons, da bekommt ihr Sachen wie Arcus Tattoo Machines, aber auch zum Beispiel Marken wie Eclipse oder Weißfarben. Also Künstler wissen Bescheid. Wenn ihr Bock drauf habt, dann habe ich auf jeden Fall jetzt einen kleinen Deal für euch ausgehandelt, denn Mike und Maya machen 10% auf eure Bestellung auf chaosnero.com klar mit dem Code TFTN10 groß und zusammengeschrieben. Findet ihr auch nochmal auf unserer Webseite www.tftn-podcast.com oder in den Shownotes. Selbstverständlich zieht's euch rein. 10% Discount bei Chaos Nero mit dem Code TFTN10.
Werbung Ende.
There was a situation a couple of weeks ago. I went to a guest spot and there I was about to finish. We did like the line work on a back piece that I started 4 years ago. And I don't know how it is with you. I don't like any of my work that I did yesterday.
Yeah.
No matter how far. So like I look at it, I think, oh yeah, cool. Then I'm going to the restrooms, whatever, come back. And then like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of artists have that. But I think in a weird way, that's a good thing because it shows that you're growing as an artist and as a person. Like I definitely don't like the stuff that I've done yesterday as well, but it shows that I'm growing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I see a tattoo that I did a year ago and I'm like, okay, I'm better than I was a year ago.
Sure.
And hopefully that just keeps continuing to happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And it will definitely, because like this is, like I said, this is something that separates the good from the bad, you know, just to reflect and do all this kind of stuff. Because the funny part about it is that when you finish up a tattoo, and also especially also like this back piece that I started, this was the maximum that I was able to do at this part. So I looked at it and I was like, dude, top notch. This is one of the best things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Now, 4 years afterwards, it's a bit different, but it would be a shame if I would still think that way.
Definitely.
So, because it's sometimes it's just what it is. And yeah, cool. So, you know, the good part, I've talked to so many artists here on the podcast, and it's funny because like there's a lot of things going on with everybody where we are all the same. Also the self-doubts and stuff. I received tons of messages after the podcast where people also talk about this, you know, like they have issues and stuff, also self-worth issues, whatever. Happens to, I would say like 60 or 70% of all the people I know. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, and also tattooing helps them because you have like this art expression mm-hmm. that helps people, and you're helping people from time to time. You can do what you like and you make a living out of it.
Yeah. I also find tattooing is like a meditation.
Yeah.
Like you get in that zone and that's all you're worried about. Your life may be crumbling down around you, but like once I start tattooing and I start like really focusing on it, it's like, I don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
Like I'm just me and the client, like we'll talk some shit and we'll tattoo for as long as it'll sit.
Have you ever tried something different than tattooing?
No, I've never had. Like I tried painting during the pandemic and stuff like that. It was fun, but it wasn't for me. Like tattooing is what I love.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I did that first line on my brother and I was like, okay, I'm doing this for the rest of my life.
Did you start painting with oil or like
acrylic?
Acrylic.
Yes.
Oh, crazy.
But I don't know any like techniques. So I just kind of like, I taught myself how to paint and it's not great. I'll be honest with you. It's rough. I look at some of my paintings, I'm like, ooh.
But acrylic is really hard, man. Like, especially when you're doing old school stuff and stuff like that. I had a friend of mine, he was teaching me how to do it with the spit shading, you know, and like two brushes. And I don't know how to do it. I know how to do it, but it looks shit. So I'm more the, if I paint with, I do markers. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, it's also spray paint again, which is also quite nice. But I know what you mean. Like because like with tattooing, I'm so familiar with tattooing that it's the process of doing is not an issue. So for me, the hardest part is to do the design and the rest is just daily business.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is something completely different when it comes to unknown territory, mm-hmm. like with painting and stuff. In the pandemic, a friend of mine, Julian Siebert from Munich, he started painting with oil. And this motherfucker, he pulled out some images. He was just at the shop each day, just painting like with oil. And you looked at the stuff and you'd be like, you know what? I've seen people that are oil painting for 20 years and it doesn't look half as good as this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is something just about dedication, I guess.
Dedication, but also like I find different artistic avenues, mm-hmm. they compound each other.
Yeah.
So you can take some stuff that you've learned, say from tattooing, and apply it to other things.
Yeah.
It's weird. I know so many like tattoo artists who started out by doing graffiti and now they're just amazing tattoo artists.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling like there's something about like where people start with graffiti.
You ever tried it?
Never. I never had the balls. I've always, when I was a kid, I looked up to like street artists like Banksy
and
stuff like that. And I knew how he did it. So when I was a kid, I did like cutouts, like Banksy style cutouts, but I never had the balls to like tag it anywhere. So I literally in my house, I have like a little like box full of like cardboard cutouts that I would
really,
if I had the chance, I would have sprayed them, but I just...
You don't have the opportunity to have like legal walls in Canada or where you live?
Not really. Like there's definitely a lot of murals in Sudbury, especially downtown. But those are like big things. Like you need to like apply and then you get like a whole like...
You have to be a professional.
You have to be a professional. Yeah.
This is also something. You just need somebody who will take you by the hand and go there. This year, Dustin, you will get to know him during the Invitational. He took me and Kilian also to... We have some legal walls here. We even have some legal trains that you can spray. And for me, this was the kickoff. Just to see somebody doing the process once and then I know how to do it. So, and I was sticking to that the whole year. I mean, like, haven't done much pieces, but anyway, but it's the same. All the time I'm going to the wall, it's like, I'm super nervous and, you know, am I doing it right? Fuck. But the best tip I can give to you about this is just do it. Take somebody and just try it out because it's really fun.
Yeah.
You can
well, there's
get lost
some
inside.
Like, I don't know if you call them like famous, but there's some people that like I recognize their tags like all around Sudbury. There's a guy who I have no idea who he is, but he writes Yezir everywhere.
Okay.
Y-E-S-I-R. And I see his tags everywhere and they're beautiful. You see some of them and you're like really, really beautiful work. Another guy named Sozer. and you see their works everywhere, and they're not doing it legally.
Yeah.
Allegedly. But they're just tagging everywhere, and you see they do it so often that you see it and you recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is also a cool part. Like for me, I'm not, I don't have the balls to do it illegally because I also have a certain standard what I want to do there, you know, and I'm not that familiar that I can put up like a throw up in 2 minutes and it looks cool. It will look shit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not doing it because it doesn't get anything, you know, so I can just go to a legal wall and probably if I'm good enough, I will come to your house in Jena. Maybe not. Yeah. What's the most important stuff that you learned in tattooing that helps you in your daily life?
That helps me in my daily life? Patience. Hmm. Like, for me, it takes a long time to do a tattoo. Mm-hmm. Like a forearm takes like 2 full days.
Really?
Yeah, depending on what it is. Like mm-hmm. stuff like fur and stuff like that, and like a portrait is a little quicker. The more detail it is, obviously, the longer it'll take. But I find that in real life, and maybe someone will call me out on this, but I find in real life I'm a more patient person just because of tattooing.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm able to deal with maybe stressful situations a little better because like what I used to call stressful is now just like, hey man, I do permanent art on people. Like it doesn't really get more stressful than that. Like I could like, especially a portrait, right? Like something like that. It's so easy to mess up that everything else in life seems not as bad.
Especially when you want to be a professional and you have somebody sitting there looking at you and people recognize if you're looking skeptic, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, but for me, like I always like I'm looking very skeptic when I try to step back from the picture and then mm-hmm. taking a look.
No, I'm the same way, but like tattooing is all about rolling with the punches. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you may not do something that you may want to do, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. on the skin, especially when you're beginning. But it's all about okay. So it's like when you do something that you weren't intending to do, especially when you're an apprentice, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, it's there now. It's like, let's make the best out of this situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's another thing that I've learned is like, okay, life's not going to go everywhere I want to. You know what I mean? Maybe a client's skin doesn't take ink as well, or maybe it's very thin, but it's like, hey, that's the person still deserves a beautiful tattoo.
Yeah,
and
sure.
That's something I take into life as well. It's like, okay, life isn't going to be how you want it to be, but I'm going to do my best with it.
I tell my apprentice that the first thing you learn in tattooing is how to get rid of mistakes. but this is also when I think like probably graffiti is also something for you because it's always one step forward, 2 steps back. So with every step you're taking forward, you're destroying something that you did before and you need to fix afterwards. Mm-hmm. The same with tattooing. Now you imagine the line, it went there. And now it's somewhere different. Of course, if you're doing a portrait, you don't have like this, the freedom of expression, you know, with the script or whatever. It's way easier because now the line's not like that, you know, but mm-hmm. probably a bit more straight. Not a big deal. And you can just walk out in the middle because then you see like, okay, there's an unfinished piece. No reason why it can be that it's not finished and you can just not step back from it, especially mm-hmm. when you charge money for it. Which is funny. And you're traveling a lot, right?
I'm starting to. I've guest spot twice in Toronto at La Magance, a beautiful shop owned by Ossian Starza. Mm-hmm. He's a great artist, like one of the best black and gray artists in Canada, if not all of North America.
Is it the guy from Paris?
Yes. I don't think he's...
Well, he's French, right?
He is French. I don't think he's from Paris. I think he's from a small town.
How's his name pronounced?
Starza.
Yeah, because I know the dude. I've met him in Milano. I think it was 2020.
Okay.
And I've seen one of his most favorite works. His leg. There was like a female face and flowers and stuff. And I've seen it in real life. And this was like fucking unrealistic.
Yes.
one of my most favorite black and gray artists, definitely. And you're guesting at his shop.
I am, yes.
Dude!
I met him at the Knicks tattoo convention.
Uh-huh.
And he's another person who... So just like in Amsterdam, that's the one thing that I do is I... whenever I like someone's work, I'll like focus in on that. So I probably watched Ossian work over like 3 days for like 5-6 hours a day. And like just watching him and trying to pick up as much as I can from him he's so talented.
To everybody listening, we're not talking about just coming by from time to time and taking a look. We are talking about like standing next to him and just watch. I've seen you doing it. Yeah. So
I go like, I don't know. I think it's like my autism just like comes out whenever I'm either tattooing or watching someone tattoo. I could do it all day. Like I love it. I love the process. I love learning. I don't even ask any questions, like, or rarely ask any questions. I'm just like trying to pick up as much as possible.
But you yourself, you don't have so many tattoos, right?
I got a couple. Sorry, I'm leaning back. I have like half of like the bottom half of my legs done.
Oh, crazy.
I have my torso all the way done.
Oh, really?
And my arm. That's about it.
For me, this is probably something that differs from you to me. And no, this is not how you say it, but this is the difference between you and me because when I take off my shirt, I'm barely tattooed, you know, and you're the other way around. I've seen you and like, okay, you have a half sleeve or like a sleeve that I see and that's it.
Yeah, I try to not try to keep them hidden. My parents would kill me if I got my hands or my neck tattooed.
Really?
100%.
Why?
I just don't think they like it. I eventually will. But it's, I think, so I still live with my parents. So I still need to like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because houses in Canada are so expensive. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was thinking of buying a house at the end of 2020, but that's when the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And then like houses like doubled in price.
Crazy.
And I was like, I'm also obviously as tattoo artists, we're independent contractors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like.
You don't get a loan.
No. You don't get a lot for a loan.
Shit.
Yeah.
Same in Germany. Like it's pretty expensive. Like Jena, where my hometown, even if it's Eastern Germany, it's crazy expensive to live here because the income is also not that great. So, but the they charge, for example, we are having 105 square meters and we are paying €1,500 a month for rent.
Oh my God.
It's okay. For Jena, it's actually like a pick, you know,
okay.
But it's not too easy. And I can imagine if you would buy a house, for example, here, a house in the city, talking about $600,000 to $700,000, probably. Yeah.
Like euros?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. Houses in Sudbury are not that expensive,
no?
But still, that's crazy.
Yeah, the thing is in Jena, because Jena is in the valley and you don't have any space to build here. So we have like less than 1% of free flats in the... So if you're, for example, checking like the internet for free flats or whatever, you see 5 to 6 and then that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is Jena like expanding a lot?
No.
No,
because like it's limited because it's it's valley. So, and also like now people start to move like to the cities next to it, which is obviously not too much because Thuringia as a state is not that crowded as, for example, North Rhine-Westphalia, where I'm originally from, is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just unfortunate. My mother told me, why don't you buy just the house? Why did you spend so much on rent? And I was like, because I can't fucking afford it.
Yeah.
Because what am I supposed to do with a house that I can't pay in my lifetime? Then I can live off rent. It would be the same, you know?
Yeah.
With the difference that I don't need to pay for anything if something's breaking, you know? Mm-hmm. So actually better. And how is it with rent and stuff? Is it also that expensive?
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Crazy.
Like a grand to a couple grand, depending on where you're going and stuff like that. Like, yeah. It's insane. I don't really look into renting because I eventually want to get a place.
Mm.
Like at least in Sudbury, it's reasonable. Mm. I will have to save a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I'm working towards it. So I haven't really been looking into rent just because it's not something that I want to do.
Yeah, sure.
Personally.
Yeah.
Just because I wanna own something.
Yeah.
I wanna at least put my money towards something that's going to be mine. Yeah. Not put some money towards something that is never going to be mine.
Yeah, that's true. This is probably something that is also different here in Germany, because here, like, most of the people are renting, like young people, especially the older people. We don't have as much houses as probably the Italians have per family, you know. There, most of the people live in their own houses, and here it's most of the time it's rented out.
In Germany, is there a lot of like generational housing? Like, do you live with like your parents and your grandmother?
It happens,
and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Of course, especially at the countryside, it's a bit more common, but it's not too crazy. Like in Italy, I'd say it's the most, for example, but like here in Germany, it is happening, but it's not like on a regular basis.
Okay.
So, but of course, in the small village where I come from, like almost everybody had like a more generation house with grandma and father and whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is something completely different. Yeah, it's funny sometimes, you know, just how the little differences make something completely else. And what do your parents do if they are like a bit more conservative?
My mom's a retired nurse and my father's a pharmacist.
Oh.
So very like, you know, not... like they enjoy art and stuff like that, but they're not like artsy people. My mother's more artsy.
Okay.
She definitely, but more in like the decorating side.
Yeah.
She loves decor and like setting up the house just the way she likes it.
Yeah.
And my dad enjoys like doing like garden work and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Gardening and farming and stuff like that.
Do you like to go outside?
Oh, I love going outside.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's one of the main reasons why I still live in Sudbury is I could... like going on hikes and going out and just exploring nature is so fun to me. Like I could never live in a big city like Toronto. Like there's just not enough nature for me.
This is why I like Jena, because it's for me the best of both worlds. You know, I have the city feeling, but if I don't want to see people, I can just spend 30 minutes and then I'm in the wildness.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful here. Like told me about a little hiking trail.
Yeah.
I took that this afternoon and it was beautiful. Like just to see the view and to see all the trees and stuff like that. I was like, okay.
And it's not even the most beautiful that I showed
really?
You. It's just something that is more accessible. Like for if you just want to have a sneak peek for it, then it's perfect. But there's way better things can show you this week.
Oh, I'm super excited for that.
Definitely.
That'll be fun.
So we have here in the hills, you can run if you like in the middle of the hills. We have like three trails. The one is on top of the hill. The one is in the middle and the other one is at the bottom in the valley, let's say. And then you can, complete circuit around Jena is 100 kilometers.
Whoa, okay. Yeah,
it's actually
cool. I'm not going to run that much, but...
No, me neither. From time to time, we have an event here where the people are doing it in 25 hours, I think.
Okay.
Like they are just hiking
crazy.
100 kilometers. I don't know how
you hear about some people doing like ultra marathons and stuff. So I'm a part of a run group in Sudbury and there's a couple ultra marathon runners who do it. So they do like 100 miles
crazy
in like 48 hours and they'll just run it. And you're like, Jesus, crazy people.
David Goggins appreciates.
Oh, exactly. I think like people like David Goggins definitely like boosted up the scene
probably
of ultra marathon running. Cause it's not until like him that I started like meeting all these people who are like, oh yeah, I just, you know, I do a marathon a day. And you're like, screw you.
Do you do marathons?
No. I've done one half marathon.
Oh, crazy.
The Toronto one. I do plan on doing it again this March.
It's 22 kilometers-ish, right?
I think 21.1,
yeah.
I think is what it is. Yeah. And that's fine for me. Like, I do a little bit of running. Mm-hmm. I find being very active outside of work helps me be very, like, stagnant at work kind of a thing. If I didn't work out every day, like, I wouldn't be able to sit down for as long as I do to focus on work.
Yeah. I think it's also like the key to your health, because most of the people, when you see them, also tattooers, they are getting fucked up the longer they're tattooing. Mm-hmm. And then most of them are not doing sports on a regular basis. And you definitely feel it, you know, like I'm 35, I'm 10 years older than you, but it's the same for me. Like if I don't do sports, like my back would be fucked up. Mm-hmm. When I see pictures of myself tattooing, I'm looking like a fucking shrimp.
So. Yeah, exactly. Like my posture is terrible.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like standing up and like going at a 90 degree angle just because I need to like switch it up. And I know that's terrible for my back.
And what do you do except for running? Like gym or like?
Kind of like a CrossFit gym.
Oh, cool.
Kind of a thing. I do like some of those classes, but it wasn't until recently that I started doing that just because I wanted to incorporate a little more like weight training into what I do. But a lot of it is endurance, like swimming, biking, running, kind of a thing.
That sounds pretty nice. And I can definitely hook you up with some good spots, either here like gyms, if you like. We also have a CrossFit box. I used to train there too.
Okay.
They're also doing drop-ins. We have like a gym here that we have a cooperation with where you can train. And some outdoor spots.
Perfect.
And the weather, I mean, like it's October. It's not that crazy good.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like I'm super excited to continue running and exploring all around here.
What's the best thing about Germany that you recognize in 24 hours being here?
I'm going to say it's two things. I really enjoy the architecture. Like it's so different to in Canada. Because in Canada, it's like you hear about a 50-year-old building.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, that's old. But here it's like, that's new. What do you mean?
It's just basic.
Like you'll see a church that was built 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And even my hotel room is very old. The one that I'm at. But like what some people might find like, oh, okay, like get turned off by, I'm like, this is awesome. Cause you don't get anything like that in Canada, just because we're such a new country.
Yeah.
Like we don't have the history that you guys have.
Sometimes I'm forgetting about this because like you mentioned before, every other guy that probably is from Europe and is familiar with this architecture and old stuff and stuff, he will come to your hotel room and be like, okay.
Yeah.
They forgot to renovate it like 30 years. But anyway, at least it's cool and you're feeling great. So this is the most important part about it. Have you had breakfast today?
I did. I went to McDonald's, unfortunately.
Really?
Everything here is kind of closed, except for bakeries. I did go to a bakery for lunch, though. I just needed something and quick and easy because I woke up from my jet lag and I was like, oh my God. I went on a quick run and then I was like, okay, I need to get some food in.
Yeah, sure. To McDonald's. How is it? Is it better in Canada or like is it?
Food in Europe is way better than Canada. Like I find like, I don't know what it is, if it's the wheat that you guys use or like the non, all the chemicals they put in like Canadian food and American food and stuff like that.
For me, it's always like the thing that happens to America, like the USA, but Canada for me is some like good guy country that also serves good food and stuff.
Yeah, but I find there's definitely more like preservatives in Canadian food. Like last time I was in Europe, I ate like shit. Like whatever it was, give it to me. Like, and I was like, okay, I'll work off the weight later.
Yeah,
I lost weight.
Really?
When I got home, I was like, how am I like? And I'm not, you know me, I'm not a big guy. And I was like, how am I down 5 pounds? And I'm like, oh, it's just because of what I ate. Like. And I was walking more and stuff like that. But like normally I'm more used to working out and then eating regular in Canada. But I was like, yeah, I lost weight. I was like, whoa.
A friend of mine recently has been to Japan and he told me that they have some ingredients in their Coca-Cola, for example. Maybe it's not the original Coca-Cola, but in their drinks.
Mm-hmm.
They it has the regular sugar and everything in it, but they also have like a... An additive that is that they put inside that prevents the sugar from being absorbed in your body.
Okay.
Weird. So you just shit it out.
Nice. Doesn't sound that bad.
Doesn't sound that bad, right? So you get the taste without the gaining weight.
There you go.
It's banned in Europe.
Yeah.
So
well, Japan does some like weird stuff. Like they cook with a lot of plastics and stuff like that. And I heard that's not very good. Like But Japan's another place where it's like when people talk to me, like when people back in Canada, they're like, oh, what's Europe like? I'm like, it's kind of like Canada. But then when I went to somewhere like Japan, I'm like, oh my God, that's a culture shock.
Yeah.
Like it's a whole different timeline. They're just like... wildly different place.
Yeah.
Compared to Canada.
What's the first thing that came to your mind, like the difference?
I don't know. Like, it's just everything is different in one way or another. Mm-hmm. When you come here, it's like, okay, some things are different.
Yeah.
But there it's like everything's different, from the road that you drive on to manners to like what is seemed as inappropriate
yeah.
compared to appropriate. Like for me, I had to hide all my tattoos. Yeah. Like even though they're a little better with tattoos over there, I just didn't want to offend anyone. So I covered up and didn't show any of my tattoos. But when I would show my tattoos, like I got some dirty looks. And I was like, oh, okay, let's put these away.
Yeah, it's something pretty different there, mm-hmm. right?
Definitely.
Is there something on your list where you want to travel next?
Not really. I'm just kind of going with the flow. We'll mm-hmm. see. We'll see where life takes me next.
But I think this is the best part about doing it. That you know, I don't know. Are you more the guy that enjoys like having a plan for the next 5 years, or is it like if you have your plans, but you're also very flexible?
I have my plans, but I'm open to changing and stuff like that. I'm more looking towards like next year and stuff like that. I try to plan like a year ahead.
In advance, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know that I'd be here a year ago, if I'm being honest with you. Like yeah, I just thought, well, I always knew in the back of my head, it's like, okay, I want to come here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until when you reached out mm. and was like, okay, the dates are these days.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, now I'm going. Up until then, it was just talk. Like, okay, maybe yeah, I'll go, yeah. maybe I'll go. And then the second you post the dates, I'm like, all right, I booked it. Book flights, book everything. Let you know that I booked everything
yeah.
so that you knew that I was serious.
Yeah,
about
that's
it.
That was really true. And this is something that was really impressive to me because it was like something, yeah, okay. Because yeah. like I said, German tattoo scene is not pretty much different from everywhere else in the world. So most of the people were like, yeah, of course we're doing it. Until you ask them again, they'd be like, sorry, man, forgot about this.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't want to, I wanted to be a man of my word. And when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
And that's another thing going back to tattooing is that I do is like at the start of every session, I tell my client, I'm like, I'm thinking I want to get this far
yeah.
in the tattoo today so that they have an expectation when they leave here of what they're getting done. And it doesn't matter if it goes a little quicker, perfect. I'll do a little more of the tattoo.
Yeah, sure.
But like if it takes me 8 hours to get what I want to get done and they're going to be able to sit for it, I'm going to take that 8 hours and or 10 hours or 12 hours, whatever it needs to get that piece done.
This is something that is actually pretty good when you are working with customers, that also expectation management, you know?
Definitely.
There are so much people around and I don't know how they're doing it. Like they say they don't tell a price in advance, you know, and just be like, yeah, you know, whatever. And then charge like...
Some ridiculous
people,
amounts.
Yeah, it's like yeah. 50% of your net income monthly, you know, like a day when you say, yeah. okay, chill.
Well, that's why before every client comes in, like I lay it out. Like I just opened up my books in Canada and one of the posts I did was laying out, okay, it takes me X amount of sits to do a leg. It takes me X amount of sits, typically
yeah.
in general. You know what I mean? And it changes per person.
Yeah, sure.
And I also charge per day so that whether I'm tattooing for 5 hours or I'm tattooing for 12 hours, the client's still getting the same amount. You know what I mean? They're not going to be surprised at the end of the day what they're getting. So, or sometimes if they tap out, like if they tap out halfway through, I'm not going to charge them a full day. I'm not going to be an asshole. Let's say, hey man, like you weren't able to sit. That's okay.
Yeah. That's very nice. But for me, this is something like it depends. So of course I won't charge them just the time that I tattooed then. Like I do it the same as you because I refuse to do it by the hour because it's like, where do you start? Sometimes you're having a slow day, you know, and you're not making progress so much. And I don't want to be stressed while tattooing. This is the chill out part for me in my life, you know, where I tattoo. So it's like, I do it the same. We have day rates and I say, okay, this, for example, let's say a shin. I'm doing a lot of shins with lettering. A shin takes me 1.5 to 2 full days. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, you know, okay, the first day, maybe we're just doing like the design and the bloodlines and a bit of the blacks and stuff, and then finish everything up by the second day. But it's not, it hasn't happened before that I'm canceling stuff or that I say, you know, I said 2 sessions, we need 3. Mm-hmm. Because also, like, nobody has a money printing machine at home. Not me. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the customers also, but it's, you have to know what you're getting there.
Exactly. And setting that expectation for clients is very, very important.
Yeah.
To understand how much it's going to cost them and also how much is getting done in that time. Because you don't want to disappoint your client.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can, and sometimes you don't do it intentionally, but you subliminally disappoint them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, like I thought we were going to get more done today.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to realism, I'm very slow. So, and my clients know this. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I'm taking my time with this. And they're cool with it. Right. But sometimes they don't get how much they thought they'd get done. If that makes sense.
You know, this meme from Instagram where they have like a palm sized color realism tattoo and it says like color tattoo artists be like, that was a solid second session.
Yeah.
Just something completely, completely nuts. But I mean, like I used to do a lot of realism and also color realism before. So I know how the process is and it just takes time. Mm-hmm. It's just a deal. And if you want something like that, you have to be prepared that it is more effort than probably just doing line work. Mm-hmm. You're able to do like a sleeve with lines in a day, not with color realism. Mm-hmm. Especially not good.
Yeah, especially not good. I can do it quick. It's just not going to be good.
Yeah. So I think that for that reason also, like for me, all that matters is that the design itself or the tattoo itself afterwards looks as bad as possible. Mm-hmm. But I also talked to a tattoo artist a couple of days ago and they'd be like, ah, you know, the problem is that the clients don't want to spend that much money because I can at least do it 10 to 15% better if they would be open to be charged more. But probably it also depends on your customers.
For me personally, like I could be doing that. I don't know why I would be doing this, but even if I'm doing the tattoo for free, I'm still going to do the best job possible. Sure. Because at the end of the day, they are also a walking advertisement for me.
Yeah.
Like not just in terms of the art, definitely that, but also in terms of the experience. Like you could be the best tattoo artist in the world, but if you're a prick, no one's going to want to come back to you.
Definitely.
Like you want to try to be like, well, you're in the service industry, right? You want to try to please your client as much as you can. And I also try to do that by having a comfortable experience with that person.
But sometimes I'm not sure about this part because like I hear from a lot of people that are famous that they are doing some stuff like letting the clients wait for 8 hours. And I'm not talking about like they're doing the designs in the meantime, but they're watching movies, go out to dinner and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how you guys even get booked, you know? Yeah. I don't know how you can get in this situation with this shitty. For me, for example, I'm always late. Like if you have an appointment with me, you can be like 99% sure I'm showing up 5 to 10 minutes late, not more, but this is the deal you have to make. Everybody knows it and I'm not doing it on purpose, but it just happens because I have so much stuff to do and I'm being easily distracted, especially from my phone. And I don't know why it is like that, but like at 11:30, I usually start my day or my appointments at 12. At 11:30, people start calling me with some very important stuff, you know, and they want to sort this out now. Mm-hmm. So this is most of the time, but I would never ever dare to like eat like for 2 to 3 hours, you know, or watch movies.
That
and
seems kind of ridiculous.
And like you said, you can, of course, you can just go and do one tattoo on these people and then they'd be like, yeah, the tattoo is really cool and everything was nice, but this part was fucked up. So fuck it. I'm going somewhere else.
Like I know some people who have some amazing work, but didn't have a great experience.
Yeah.
So that they'll be like, okay, like that artist wasn't for me. And they'll go to someone who maybe isn't as good, but they have a better experience there. And I find an experience is a large part on why people go back to a shop.
Definitely.
Because they enjoy it.
This is also something that, so if you are a cool dude who's doing like average tattoos, you can still be the best in town because people like you so much and they're just coming back because of the experience. They don't expect like world-class tattooing from some people. It's just something, yeah, it's my tattooer. He's a nice guy and he does his best and that's enough for me.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also like, you get attached to clients.
Yeah.
I find like it's weird. It's kind of like a breakup sometimes when you're done a sleeve and you know you're not going to see the guy for
until the next project.
You know what I mean? So it's like, damn, I spent 40 hours with you. Like, yeah. I know all this stuff about you because we've talked the whole time. And then it's like, oh yeah, I guess I'm not going to see you again. Like, this is weird.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes it's even funnier when the people then coming back. And for me, like when I used to finish like sleeves, or for example, some clients also gave me like a bottle of whiskey and stuff, you know, just something to appreciate the work and everything, mm-hmm. except for the money. I like that a lot. Yeah, fun, man. You know what? Time's up.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's been a nice talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. No, thank you for coming over, to taking all the stress just to be here. I really appreciate it. And we are really looking forward for the next 4 or 5 days. Spending time. So here at the podcast, the guest has the last words. You can do some advertisement, for example, for your Instagram or whatever you would like to say. This is your chance now.
Follow me on Instagram at Sushi Tattoos, or don't. It's up to you. But thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I appreciate all you guys out there in the podcast verse.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. See you next time. And hopefully this was not the last episode with us. So we catch up maybe in a year or whatever. Next
Perfect.
Time we see each other.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Thank you so much, man. Have a nice day, everybody. Thank you for listening. Bye. Ich hoffe, dass es euch Spaß gemacht hat. Ich hoffe, dass ihr euch gut unterhalten gefühlt habt und ein bisschen was mitnehmen konntet. Wenn ihr Rückfragen zu gewissen Themen habt, was auch immer, lasst es uns gerne wissen. Ansonsten würden wir uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr uns bei den gängigen Streaming-Portalen bewerten würdet. Erzählt auch gerne euren Freunden davon über einen Shoutout auf Instagram und anderen Social-Media-Kanälen. Freuen wir uns natürlich auch immer. Support ist kein Mord. Denkt dran. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder bei Tales from the Needle. Vielen Dank. Ciao.